And we welcome you inside the Hoop Ball Sacramento King podcast. I am Sam Comenti, alongside, as always, the incomparable, the all-knowing Jill Adge. And Jill, there's a bunch of random people with us today. Did you let these guys into this meeting? We're going to have to introduce them now.
We sure did.
It's going to get real awkward.
We can go one by one and everyone can introduce themselves.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah. First things first, we want to say thank you to our guests here who are about to introduce themselves. They're not nameless. They're going to tell you who they are for helping us on this stacked Friday show, especially as I believe everyone in this chat, except for Sean, I'll exclude you, Sean, are a little bit in mourning today after the San Francisco Giants loss to Satan's favorite team. So we'll start with John Bull. Go ahead. Welcome.
Well, I'm John Bull.
I did your job.
Programmer by day, more known on Twitter for photography, and I share Kings takes sometimes.
Yes, I hope so. I hope that's why you're
sometimes
here.
Yeah, I've watched the team one or two times.
Quite frequently.
He's a fantastic
frequent
Twitter
traveler
page.
Of the country with Jill, you know, as we travel to watch the Kings play as well.
Terrific.
That's how we first met. Yeah.
I want to go down in the line. I don't want to say your name now. I don't want to spoil it. I want to do your job. Sac Republic, go ahead.
All right, I'm Connor Sutton. I feel like this is the start of an AA meeting, so I'm a little nervous. MC of Sac Republic, host the podcast forum called The Breakaway. Excited to talk some Kings today with you guys.
Glad to have you, Connor. guy with the 49ers wallpaper, go ahead. What's your name?
So I'm Sean Holko, co-host of Sean and Vaughn on the Be Heard podcast platform. And I'm a suffering A's fan, so just forget about me because my team never wants to pay anyone. So I was just salty.
I realize now, I recognize there's obviously a much better way to introduce it, everyone here, but this is much funnier. As Connor said, it's like an AA introduction. So let's wrap it up here with our last chief meteorologist.
Yes, I am Christina Warner, chief meteorologist over at Fox 40. But if you follow me on Twitter, you know I'm also a crazy Kings fan and a crazy fan of a lot of teams. So I am wearing black today. You can't see this on a podcast, but it is because of the Giants game yesterday. So there you go. I'm in mourning.
Yes, as am I. I'm wearing purple for Kings, but I'm mourning on the inside. And I've been mourning since I got up this morning to go to work at 4 a.m. I've just been very silent around the office and people are like, are you okay? I'm like, it's a stupid question. You guys know I'm a Giants fan. Leave me alone. Obviously, I'm not okay.
Give me a day.
Yeah, just everyone, just give me space. I just need space and also then love when it's time to have love. So we're going to get right into it. First thing we got to cover, and it's John's wallpaper. Obviously, no one can see it. I'll end up sharing videos of this, but it's what's floating behind John right now. The Kings played their final preseason game last night. They cannot, and I repeat, and I will never be able to repeat this again, they cannot lose. This team is electric. They're on fire. John, actually, duck for me if you don't mind. I forget what the score was. 116 to 112. The Kings beat the Lakers, cementing a perfect, clean 4-0 preseason for our Sacramento Kings and a beautiful 0-5 or 0-6 preseason for the Lakers.
Are they the first team ever to go undefeated in Vegas Summer League and then go undefeated in preseason? They just might be.
Carmichael Dave claims that. Summer League only goes back to 2012. So there's a good chance that is probably accurate. It doesn't date back too far. But yes, that was what I'm sure one of us was going to say, is that they're the first. We're going to put the banner in the arena in Golden 1. First team to be undefeated through Summer League and preseason. So now let's go through the list again, just as we did the first time. And I want to hear everyone's opinion of that last preseason game against the Lakers. Most specifically, what excited you the most? What player or play or theme that you saw in the game that was getting you amped about watching the Kings this year? I think the whole game kind of amped me up. And then just any takeaways you guys have. John?
One of the takeaways I have is, I was in the building there, and you couldn't tell me that the Lakers weren't trying to win that basketball game until they pulled everybody out and it was about 3.5 minutes left or so. And so I was just impressed that the Kings hung around. They took a couple of blows from them. They got behind but they just kept coming back. And, by the time they ended up pulling all the Lakers starters, the Kings were actually winning that game. So that was probably the first sign of the Kings playing against kind of some real competition, because I just feel like with the Portland and stuff, it was just, I mean, you're playing their bench from the start. And so then when it got deeper in the lineup, it was, you know, it was just lopsided. And so, you know, I thought that was really impressive that the Kings took blows from LeBron. And I mean, I don't remember what LeBron ended up at, but it was like 30 something, I think, or close to it. So, I mean, they were trying to win that game and they hung around. And I mean, that's all you can really ask for. I mean, Davion Mitchell is obviously the standout. He just continues to impress. It's just, we all kind of knew he'd be good at defense, but when he kind of got pushed down with LeBron and stuff, I think that was kind of one of the first real kind of tests of, hey, when you play these bigger guards and bigger players like the LeBrons and the Westbrooks, what is that height really going to become an issue? And I still continue to see no signs of that becoming an issue.
Yeah, I almost feel like they threw Davion at him just for everyone's entertainment. Like, I don't think he needed to do it.
I was yelling for a switch just so like we can get a LeBron ISO on Davion at the top.
We want Davion.
Yeah, I wanted it badly.
Yeah. And please, everyone else, feel free to hop on after John. It doesn't actually need to be in order, but just to continue it, Connor, what were your takeaways?
I mean, the biggest thing that I'm looking at, and I know it's preseason and theoretically it doesn't matter, is how well that three-guard lineup, or not even including that three-guard lineup, but how well they can switch and the way they can defend at that level. And I think I was, you know, kind of watching Davion in certain situations because, again, I want to see how he handles big guys. My fear is now that it's like a thing where it's on social, it's getting pushed out on Bleacher Report. I think eventually he's going to get hunted down low, like they're going to be in a switch and maybe post him up. But who knows? It's 2021. Post up isn't a thing anymore. So maybe that doesn't happen, but I think that that's the biggest thing for me is if they can run that three guard lineup, can switch everything and be effective. The only other question mark at that point is, can they rebound? And I thought like last night they did pretty well against a team that is pretty good at rebounding with Anthony Davis and obviously LeBron and Russell Westbrook, who loves to go in and get rebounds. So I think that's the big question mark for me coming from this game and coming from the preseason is, that three-guard lineup that I imagine they're going to want to close with, maybe, depending on how they match up against opposing teams. Can they rebound? Can they get the rebound in the big stretch? I think they can handle the switches. But if another team needs a big bucket, needs a big possession, will they just hunt the switch for Davion and put him in a post down low if they have a Paul George or LeBron James? That's my biggest question mark.
Yeah, it's the height is the question, right? How big can he go in terms of guys that he can guard? And that was the first real test for Davion in terms of someone much bigger than him in LeBron James, which no one can guard LeBron. Let's just obviously get that obvious statement out there. Doesn't matter who you are, you're gonna have difficulty guarding that freight truck. But Davion held his ground and it was definitely exciting to watch him fly around the court. The defensive effort was outstanding in my opinion, but I know we're gonna talk more about that. Sean, yeah. I'm gonna
and hold on. Yeah, and you like go. You no, mentioned please, too where you mentioned
I'll just skip Sean anyway.
The various three guard lineups, right? Like not just that one. And the rebounding between Tyrese, Buddy, and Terrence Davis, they all each had 6 rebounds. So, I mean, again, like depending on no matter which three you're in, if you can get the rebounds out of those guys, that was super impressive between those three and why it was working. I mean, that might not happen all the time, but you saw when they were doing it, the success there. And so if they can keep doing that on a regular basis, to your point, I think that would be huge and continuing that.
Yeah, I guess we'll all agree that they have definite big bodies on this roster, almost to a disproportionate amount of just having 3 huge centers. And that's not even including Damian Jones or Kata. Christina?
I think in the first couple games, the first thing that really stood out to me was the depth. I'm just surprised at the depth that the team actually has, because I think this was probably the first offseason where a lot of us, and I'm talking about people on Twitter, a lot of us were just kind of thinking, well, they really didn't do much. Who do we have? Well, at least we have Holmes. Thank goodness they re-signed Holmes, but it doesn't really seem like they have anyone. And then all of a sudden we get to game one and you realize, no, they've got a lot more depth than possibly the last couple of years. I just remember the last couple of years, it was about 7 or 8 guys and that was it. We had nowhere else to go after that. And if those guys weren't on, forget it. And it does feel like they've got a lot of options now. So I definitely like that. They're not always going to work, but that's one thing I definitely see. And last couple of games, they don't seem to get too down. they seemed to kind of rally back. I was surprised last night because I thought, oh, okay, here we go. As I'm watching that and baseball, here we go. They're going to kind of fall apart here. And they didn't. They kind of rallied back. There's definitely some type of belief, it seems like, in even the second squad that they can come back on guys.
Yeah, resiliency is showing itself for sure in preseason. And then Sean, our A's fan, go ahead, wrap this opening dialogue up for us.
Yeah.
That's enough. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
It's okay. So to John and Christina's point, like, I was really encouraged by the start too, because at the beginning when the Lakers took the lead early, I just kind of thought, okay, here we go again against real competition, because we haven't really seen too much real competition in this preseason. But then the Kings, they outscored the Lakers 24-6 to close out that first quarter. So I actually thought, okay, there's actually progress being made here. And then I was also just really impressed by Terrence Davis in this game, because he impressed from behind three again. And my biggest takeaway from that performance is that he makes Buddy much more expendable, because Buddy and Marvin are always being thrown around in trade discussions. But the question is, okay, you lose Buddy, what are you going to do to replace him when it comes to that volume shooting? Terrence Davis, at least like when you look at just his stat line, it was a very Buddy Hield stat line. 20 points, 6 of 14 from the field, and only one of those shots was a two-point shot, and then with 6 rebounds and 3 assists as well. And then just on the things to improve, Tyrese, he definitely had some sloppy turnovers early, and I thought it was kind of ironic because some of the bad passes he threw where like Russell Westbrook was just jumping in the passing lane, those were the type of plays that we saw from Tyrese last year where he was the one getting the steals, and now he had a couple of sloppy turnovers, but it's preseason and he's going to improve, so I'm not really worried about that. But overall, I'm really encouraged by this last game and the preseason overall.
Yeah, that leads me to a good question there, Sean. I want to obviously give it to everyone to answer, please. Because in this last game, Walton was treating it like the dress rehearsal. Normal starters, the rotation was normal, as it will be to start the season, excluding Bagley, of course. I feel like that's just a statement we always make. Bagley wasn't there. But we are all in the belief here, I'm going to go ahead and assume, that Buddy's best role, and I know me and Jill have talked about this, but Tyrese did struggle and Buddy did have good numbers last night, but Buddy's best for the bench, right? Like, that's where he's supposed to be. He's the Lou Williams of this team.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyone disagree with that, I guess? Go ahead.
And I think when you have like just my general makeup of like a rotation is your starter should be pretty consistent every single day. Like every single game you go into a game, you kind of know what your starters are going to do. And Buddy Hield obviously is not that person. You don't know what he's going to do. You don't know if he's just not going to make anything, or it's going to be one of his good games. And I think that's just better suited for the bench, because, you know, if it's one of his bad games, you're just like, all right, fine. Like, you know, we'll play Tyrese a couple extra minutes to counter it or, you know, Davion or something. You can bench him easier if he's off the bench. So I just think that it fits better when you have an inconsistent player to come off the bench.
I'll disagree. Sorry. Go ahead, Jill.
No, I was going to say, just between, like, you guys are talking about Buddy and Terrence, and I think Buddy should be on the bench, but I also think we got to see for one of the first times when Buddy and Davis are going off at the same time, and how much that opens up the space for Fox. Like, I mean, when both of them are hitting their outside shots, it's the seas parted. It's wide open for whether it's, you know, Holmes, Tristan, Tyrese, Mitchell, Fox, like whoever between the big and the point guard that's playing, those two guys were bombs away and making it. And I mean, when you go back and watch, you just see how spread out it was. And that, to me, that just adds a whole nother dimension of the offense. And again, like we mentioned, if they rebound or they're making the assists and the smart plays, that's just a whole nother arsenal to add to your, you know, to add to rotations and your matchups, as depending on the team, the teams you're playing. But Buddy on the bench and then them two going off at the same time was a welcome sight.
All right, here's why I think Buddy should start at least some games this year, and I actually think you'll see him start some games this year, is I think it'll come from Monty McNair, like, hey, we gotta get this guy some run, because if he's coming off the bench playing 20 minutes a game at his contract, not a great trade asset at that point. But if he's playing 27, 27, 28 minutes a night. Maybe he doesn't close game, but at least he starts. I do think that makes him a little bit better of a trade asset. And I think we're at this point where maybe like using him in the starting lineup, at least some games, and putting him out there as a trade asset might be as, if not maybe a little bit more important, depending on what you can get in return for him, than maybe some of the development of early getting Tyrese or Davion or whoever's going to be in that starting lineup, getting them the initial minutes. I mean, if they close, that's fine. But I do think there's a little bit of a stigma of when you're in the starting lineup, you're one of the best five guys. And I think putting Buddy in that lineup just kind of might improve his trade value a little bit. And I think could be important to the Kings' success, maybe not this year, but down the road. And I think that's what we all care about. And surely Monty McNair cares about.
Yeah. And I think his biggest issue this year, it's going to be the efficiency, whether it's starting, coming off the bench minutes, it's if he's putting up the numbers, I think there will be a team regardless of minutes that says, okay, like he's being efficient. If we give him a little bit more of this, you know, maybe that'll happen. But if you go out there and you start him and he becomes
true
super non-efficient, then that won't necessarily help either. So it's going to be a really fine line of how they do this. And I wouldn't mind them doing it based on how guys are playing, right? Like at any given time in the season, we saw that Bagley, you know, apparently became available right before the game. And Luke said, you know what? We already had a game plan. I'm going with Tristan, and Tristan delivered for him. So at this point, like if you're going by game plans and what's maybe working or based on, like you said, depending on who you're playing or lineups like that, I wouldn't mind if he started in that sense, as long as it made sense with that, because at this point they have to win this year, right? Like Sam and I have talked about this, like they've made it known, like this is it for us, that, you know, for the guys like Walton and things like that, it's going to be a fine line of, I'm not listening to you. I need to do what I need to do to win a game, and how they play that. Cause I, you know, that they could be on the chopping block as well.
Yeah. Connor, I got to backtrack and just say, I appreciate you playing heavy devil's advocate there and just throwing off the whole balance that we had created. Christina,
but it's true. I mean,
no, I agree. I'm just giving him crap because I don't know how deeply he believes that. Christina, we just mentioned Bagley. And obviously Bagley did not play. I want to hear your take, though, starting with you at least. How do you feel about Marvin Bagley going into this year? What are your thoughts on him? Have you given up on Bagley?
No. Okay. So John and I think kind of have similar feelings about Bagley. I think last year I was much more on the defense of Bagley. And I think more of it is defense online, how people treat him, how they treat the situation. I'm not even going to mention, you know, the draft. I don't even care about that anymore. I honestly, if he gets better and is better for us, that's great. I do fear that he'll go to another team and do really, really well, and that will really suck.
That's the Kings effect.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I would like to see him get a chance. I don't really care. I don't really care who plays, who starts. I just want them to win. And like, I don't care if Buddy starts. I don't care if Buddy comes off the bench, whatever's working that night, go with it. I don't think this team's good enough in the past couple of years, good enough now to care about who's starting and who's on the bench. Just win. I don't care as a fan, but I'm just talking as a fan, not as an analyst. So at this point, I don't care who starts. I don't care who's on the bench. I just want to win.
Check the egos at the door, which is something me and Joe have talked about. Like, we're done with that shit. Just get over it. Play your role, help the team win. That's what good teams do.
Yeah, and I think we've gotten past the fact that we have. Yo, go ahead, John.
Oh, and I think we've gotten past the point where we have like that kind of privilege based off of you know, rookie drafts and how much somebody's making and all that. I think we've kind of moved past it at that point with this team where you really do need to just prioritize who's the better player at this position, and that's who plays. And if it means Marvin Bagley doesn't play again, then whatever. We'll deal with that. But I think we're kind of past the point where it kind of feels like we're forcing Marvin Bagley into a starting roster just because we kind of feel like we have to.
Yeah. And with this Kings team, the last couple of years, regardless of how much money they were making, like where they were drafted, the best ability from someone was their availability. Like, and it just comes down to, if you're not available and you can't like it's hard for him to grow because he's not available, right? Like he's not getting the minutes on the court. But at the same time, the Kings, at some point, they have so many players they have to develop as well as try to win that, you know, some guys get kind of left behind in that. So it's going to be up to him to keep putting in that work, whether it's in practice or, you know, or whatever. Like, again, we have no idea just because he's been out the last three games, like, and they're not being very forthcoming if it's precautionary, like, or if it's, there's something actually there again. So again, we're kind of speculating on would he have played had he been available prior to them making the game plan? Like, would Luka put him in the game plan? I don't know. It's hard to know at this point because we've just haven't seen again, consistency of him being available to be on the court.
That's such coach speak to me. I'm sorry. I got to say this because you're talking about, it's not part of the game plan. It's a preseason game. Luke, what do you, I understand you have a game plan. You telling me you just can't be like, oh yeah, well you're here. Okay, Marvin, yeah,
but
go
they
in
said this game, this but game granted to what,
I can't figure out what to do.
I don't care.
Granted, what Luke said though, if you go by what he said before, that this game was going to be the game plan for what they are doing going forward.
Sorry.
Same thing that the Lakers did. So if maybe that's, you know, maybe he made a statement in there too, that Tristan is part of the game plan right now and Bagley's not. Like, I mean, and based on that, I can't even be mad at that because Tristan's earned whatever minutes he's getting right now based on his play. So it's, yes, it was preseason, but both teams made it pretty clear. Like this last game, we're going in as it would be game one of the season.
And if Marvin Bagley can't beat out Mo Harkless for the starting power forward position, there's bigger issues.
There. Right.
Like, yeah. Just face value.
Watch how you talk about Sacktown Mo right there. That's our guy.
Hey, I love Mo Harkless. I think he fits in great with this team, but
that shows you what's going on behind the scenes, right? Like,
right.
In practice and anywhere else.
I think that's part of the problem with the whole Bagley situation is all the cryptic things that even the organization puts out, even when he's hurt, when he's kind of hurt, when he's not hurt. And then that's just fodder for everyone to go crazy on him. I just wish that it was a clearer path for him. I do wish that for him. As just a fan, I wish that he had, I don't know if it's a better narrative or just, does that make sense?
Right.
Just
less pressure.
I think all of it is just, it's so much.
I don't think those vague medical reports are helping Marvin Bagley at all.
It leaves all of us to speculate, right?
Yeah. We could definitely talk about Marvin Bagley. I didn't know. I opened up a little bit of a can of worms there. Everyone's just therapy session. No. Like, I apologize.
Somebody's thighs.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you about Marvin Bagley. I have all these notes down. Like, I'm so angry at this person. No, I gotta. I'm gonna shift, and then I'm gonna actually follow what I wrote down for us to do. But this is another question me and Jill have been just chatting about because it's preseason. It's hard to really find a whole lot of topics. But one person that we've really already fallen in love with, we already were in love with this guy, but now that he's a coach, he's really starting to make more fans. Doug Christie and the Doug Christie effect. Connor, Sean, I got to hear from you guys. You've been a little quiet. So Connor, we'll start with you. You all in on the Doug Christie effect, how he's just really rubbing off on these players, including Bagley?
I'm a little cold on this. I know I'm zagging here too. I know. I'm sorry. I'm zagging here. I as much as I would like to thank an assistant coach, and I love Doug Christie, everything he stands for, love the guy, love him as a player, love him as a broadcaster and excited for him as a coach. I don't know. It's hard for me to believe that he's going to come in and make a 10 win difference on this team. I think it's a mentality difference that he can bring to the table. I know this is probably unpopular. It already appears like it is, but I'm not 100% sure that Bagley are we 100% sure this isn't a PR move by the Kings? Like, I feel like
it's 100% not a PR move. I can tell you that. Yeah. It's not. He's been wanting to coach.
No,
for years.
I know it's not. Yeah. I know. I'm not talking about from his point of view. I'm talking about from the Kings' point of view.
The Kings' point of view.
Like, you can. I'm just saying, throwing it out there. Considering we've seen former players get picked up as coaches, assistant GMs, GMs like that before. I just feel like that's a fair question. I'm not saying it's true. I hope he does everything that everyone's excited for him to do, especially on the defensive end, because that's where they need it. And I know he's going to be a great mentor for a lot of these young guys. I just don't know if he's going to be the 10 win or 5 win difference and make the huge, huge impact year one that everyone thinks he was. Now, year two, year three, I think slowly as his mentality really grows amongst the players and amongst the other coaching staff, I think it really could be a huge factor. But year one, I'm not 100% sure it's going to make a massive difference.
Yeah, I would think that if you're going to see something in wins or losses, it would probably be more Mr. Defenses end, Mike's, you know, that new hire. But I would say with Christy, I think you might be able to see individual players' numbers increase, in certain areas that might be more where you see his impact when it comes to, because right now you're seeing him work individually with guys when it comes to certain things rather than as like a group setting. So I would think that Mike would have, if anyone's going to have more of an impact. And to me, more wins is just being better on defense. That would be more Mike's area, just because he's been doing that for 20 years. And like, it's, I see him as more the defensive coordinator than anything else. And you'll see Christy probably more impact individual players.
Connor, you're trying to cause anarchy. I notice what you're doing. I appreciate it.
No, I know. Here's the thing. I know everybody loves Doug Christie, and I love Doug Christie too. I just hadn't heard anybody like bring that up as even like a question. So that was all.
There was a lot of people when it happened. Twitter was like flying with it because it was like their first free agent announcement. So yes, there were. You were not alone in that.
All right.
That question,
Sean, we've silenced you for a while. Go ahead, my friend.
It's okay. I'm the A's fan. No one wants to hear from me. It's okay. I understand.
You've got the message now.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Connor that I don't think it's necessarily going to just translate into 10 more wins, but I definitely think it's a positive impact on this team because we were all talking about Davion changing the culture and bringing defense to this team, and rightfully so because he is doing that. But one rookie is not going to change that all by himself. So someone like Doug can help reemphasize that. And also, I think just when it comes to maybe the lower points in the year, hopefully it's not another 9-game losing streak. But when it comes to the lower point in the year, Doug can be there to talk to the young guys and be like, hey, we can build this back up into a great team and this city will support you 100%. I was here for it. I know what it's like to be in your shoes. And Doug can kind of just be that extra voice, even though I'm sure he already was in his commentator role and just being around the team. Now it's even more because he is there on a daily basis around these players all the time. And I really like this hiring as well. And even though Mike's the guy, Doug's definitely going to help with defense because we all saw what he did during his career defensively.
And I think Doug's going to help individually defensively too, like on ball. I think where Mike's going to do a lot more rotationally and team defense, I think Doug can help like Jill was saying earlier with the individuals. I'm zagging on my own zag, but I also got a little nervous because I don't want people coming after me on Twitter because who knows. After
the hell's a Connor Sutton guy?
I'm closer to where Sean's at. I'm going to expand on a little bit more where I think Doug Christie kind of helped. It's not so much just Doug Christie that I think helped. Is us Kings fans all fell in love with the Amon Shumpert scores effect, right? And I think what happened where when Amon was on the team, it was basically just him yelling at all the rest of the players to like get your stuff together. And now they have the Tristan Thompsons, the Doug Christies. I think Mitchell's going to be kind of that person. So now I think you have a bigger group of those people in the locker room that will make sure that people aren't slacking, aren't screwing around and doing all that kind of stuff and teach them what it takes to win. And I think now that there's a bigger group of those players, that's kind of where you'll see the long-term effect.
Yeah, a lot of strong voices are on the bench now and in the building for the Kings, which is something we can't say has really been the case in years past. I have to point out the hilarious image of just Coach Mike, as we're calling him, because we hate to mess up his last name. Coach Mike is probably 5'7". That's just my guess. And he's surrounded by coaches that are basketball players. They're 6'3" and above. And I just love watching Luke Walton sitting down with Mike standing right next to him. And Mike's like his height seated. That's a storyline that no one's talking about. I want to get this rolling a little bit more. It's hilarious to me. Okay, shifting to more serious gears, not serious, but more to the meat and potatoes of this podcast. We brought you guys on, of course, because you guys are wildly entertaining, very insightful on the Kings. We want to know, me and Jill have already put out there what we think this Kings team can do this year, our win-loss projections, things like that. We want to hear what you guys believe this Kings team is capable of and a win-loss projection, because that's really what people pay attention to. So starting with Christina, please. Yeah, I'm putting you, throwing you out here.
Set the tone.
You're the leadoff hitter.
Are we going to be pessimistic or optimistic?
Don't worry. Connor will just do the exact opposite of whatever you say. The expectation for the Kings this season, Christina, and then a win-loss projection, an honest, non-biased, but still biased because you can't not be biased projection for these Sacramento Kings. Go ahead.
Okay, one of the funniest things is that Jill thinks that I am positive, which is hilarious because in every aspect of my life, I'm totally glass half empty. But for some reason with the Kings, I do always enter it a little bit rose-colored glasses, I guess. So, okay, the first thing I'm looking for this year that I want to see is kind of a return to toughness. I'm excited to see players like Mo Harkless, like Terrence Davis, like Tristan Thompson, just kind of bring a toughness and an air to this team that I think they've needed over the last couple of years. I always go back to last year when Metu was hurt and thrown on the ground, basically broke his wrist, and no one did anything. No one got in anyone's face. No one did anything. So I'm hoping that some of these newer players will just bring an attitude to this team that will just kind of send a message. We're here. You're not just going to run us over, and you respect us a little bit. So that's my big hope and kind of what I'm looking for. And I'm not saying get up and fight a dude. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying get in his face if they throw a kid down and his wrist is broken. You know, let's do something. I mean, Metu had to do it for himself. Was it in summer league or was it at the end of last year? I don't remember. He got in trouble.
Part two was in summer league where he did stand up for himself.
He swung and everyone freaked out about it.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
I was fine with it.
No, exactly. I was pumped.
PTSD.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, it's a normal reaction and other players need to do that for him. So I want to see that toughness kind of return. I think every good team, and I don't know if they're good yet, but every good team has an edge like that and you need that. I think I am hopeful with the depth that I see. I worry about coaches' rotations, but we'll see. I think for me, it's you've got to at least make the play-in. At least make the play-in. I don't know how many games that is, but we have to make the playoffs and at least be the play-in at the very, very least, or I think it's a wasted year again.
Yeah, we had a lot of those. No, I need a win-loss actual number, though.
I don't know that. I don't know. I'll do it at the end.
That's fair. Yeah.
Okay.
What the number will be.
I'm trying to think.
You're saying play-in or bust.
Play-in or bust.
Play-in or bust. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I don't have.
No, don't worry.
I'm very superstitious. I can't statistics, do a number
numbers. Okay. No, that's my bad.
I totally get the numbers. I get it.
I will ruin the whole season. So
Christina says play-in or bust. That's what we'll say. Mm-hmm. Got it. All right. Whoever wants to hit second in this lineup.
I have a question. Does the playoff drought end up if they make the play-in, or do they have to actually make the okay?
Good just question.
Depends on who you talk to.
I know.
The Kings will think it counts. The Kings will think it counts.
Oh, that doesn't count.
It's probably it's whoever keeps track of the playoff drought. Whoever is the official keeper of that. If they say it counts, then
I wouldn't want that job.
You know, I don't know.
And ESPN and TNT don't call it the playoffs.
Go ahead, Sean. Throw in your point.
No, exactly. Because last year when Jason Tatum dropped 50 points in a play-in game, those did not count towards his regular season stats or his playoff stats. So they don't count as playoff stats. So to me, it doesn't count as a playoff game.
So they don't exist? Yeah. John's got a good point.
It was the weirdest thing. It was weird. But it doesn't count playoff stats, so it's not a playoff game.
I would say it's similarly compared to being a first base umpire.
Yes. Very well. Perfectly.
They should just call it a wild card. Well, in baseball, they count like the wild card, right? Same with football. It's the same thing.
It's true.
It is.
NBA needs to get their stuff together.
Made us angry. It's just, yeah. Wow.
But do we all agree that it doesn't count? Do we agree it doesn't count? Or
I don't think it should count.
Okay.
I feel like it's like Jason Tatum's numbers. It's somewhere. I don't know how to answer that question. It's like, does it count or does it not count? I don't know. And then I just float away.
I'll wait for national media to tell me if it counts or not, because it's going to be coming from them. And yeah. and off if our drought extends to whatever number, 16 or 17 or whatever.
Yeah, it is. If it's 15 years, I think it counts. I'm just going to say it. I don't care. I don't care. Play right. a game past the last game of the season
optimist.
And I'm happy.
Yeah, I was going to say, now you're the
eye of the beholder. Yeah. There we go.
There you go.
Right.
Very nice. John, give me your projections.
I think this year is going to be, you know, better than previous years. I think they're going to stick around pretty much the entire year. I think the depth will help. I think the toughness that Christina brought up is there. And we saw it last night when Harrison Barnes got hit. Alex Lynn started shoving people. And
yeah. So oh, it's like, I meant to say Lynn too. And, sorry, John.
And I think that's kind of been what Monty McNair kind of deemed was wrong with this team. Cause I pretty much every single player that has been brought in since the trade deadline last year has pretty similar personalities. And so I think that's going to help. And I think the Kings do have depth aside from the either small forward or power forward lack of depth, depending on what we want to call Harrison Barnes. They can take some injuries and stuff, and they have some players that can fill right in that I don't think is going to be that big of a drop off. And so I think in the you know, grand scheme of the season that should keep them competitive. And so I do think the play-in is going to be there. I mean, they were only two games out last year or whatever it was. And I think they're two games better this year. I think some teams took some hits. So I think they're going to be right there in that, you know, 6 through 10 or whatever group that's going to be all kind of clustered in there. And if I have to do a guess of numbers, I'll just.
You don't have to. I guess this makes you guys uncomfortable. Don't do that.
I'll go with 44. Let's go with that.
44. I like that. It's a good number. 44 and 38. Yes. My quick math skills right there. I went to college. Thanks, John. All right. Someone else. I don't like picking. I don't like that power.
So I don't think that the top six in the West is realistic, but if everything clicks, it could be achievable. And like everyone else, I think the Kings, they're going to be fighting for a play-in spot, or they better be, and be somewhere between that 7 to 12 range, hopefully 7 to 10 at least. And as far as overall record, I'm going to go with 40 and 42 and ninth in the West. And that could be the team's best record since they last made the playoffs in 2006 with the eighth seed when they went 44 and 38. Although this is where my pessimism side comes in, and I don't think that the Kings would make the playoffs, the actual playoffs from the play-in tournament, unfortunately, but I'd love to see them prove me wrong. But the optimist in me is saying 40 and 42, really close to 500, but it's the Kings, so of course they're going to finish right under that. But then the pessimist in me is saying they're going to make the play-in, but they're not going to actually make the playoffs, which sucks, but I love to see them prove me wrong.
John, your optimistic projection is 40 wins?
Yeah.
You are a downtrodden Kings fan. Welcome to the club.
That's the best record that they could have since 2006. I mean, they did have 39 a couple years ago, yeah, but that's Jaeger still year. The best. Yeah, that could still be the best record that they've had in 15 years going on 16.
You're like just rubbing salt in a gigantic wound. Just this giant, my whole body wound. Just, yeah, man, that's
I've seen much worse online. So that's actually, I mean, from what we're projections, saying on here, yeah. And what our projections, we're considered the all optimists right now.
Yes. The optimistic
board.
All right,
board. Connor, hit us. What is it?
I'm so nervous to tell you guys after.
Oh, this is not going to be good.
I'm going to leave.
20 and 62.
No. Okay, so the over-under in Vegas is 36, or I think it's 36 and a half. It's gone up the past week from 35 to 36 and a half.
Thank you, Davion Mitchell.
So if I had to bet that, I would say over, and my number will be 38. I think 38 is the wins. However, I am extremely nervous. We talked about the depth. Christina said that, and she's absolutely right. But my big fear is if one of the Kings' main cogs, a.k.a. De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Halliburton, get hurt for an extended period, or Harrison Barnes even, I am nervous because I don't think – because once you have one less person in that rotation, then you have, you know, either Davis starting or you have Mo Harkless starting, then who's your backup at that point? And I think that's when in the past the Kings have really struggled, is when they've had to go three deep in the bench, when they've had injuries, and that's when they start looking really bad, and that's when we have, you know – guys who that's when our defense looks terrible in certain situations. So I'll say 38 wins. I'm hoping it's higher than that. But it's over, right? That's good. If you're thinking optimistic based on the over under, I'll take that. I have not gone over in a Kings win and win loss over under in a long time. So that's optimistic in my opinion.
No, I can see why we are the optimistic group, as Jill just said. I mean, we're kind of holding our heads high right now. I think the vibe is good amongst a lot of people going into the season for the Kings, which is so unheard of. And I don't even want to think too much into why exactly that is, because it's not like they didn't even make the play-in last year. You know, they don't have anything
undefeated.
But there you go. That's what it is. I'm so stupid of me, Sean. It's they're undefeated since Shaq got out of Sacramento, or where I don't even know if he was living. He definitely wasn't living in Sacramento. Since Shaq ran off and made his Papa Murphy's commercials. So
Papa John's.
Okay.
Come well, on. I'll say too, for the first time, we have new people coming in, not saying like bad things, where it's like, we've had how many new players come in, and even during training camp. Yeah. I'm trying to get these guys to understand, you know, that they need to show more effort or energy, or, you know, every day has to be the same way. And, you know, all the new people that came in from the end of last year and then starting this year are saying how, like, damn, everyone really seems like they actually want to do something this year. Like, okay. And as sad as that is, that's an improvement. Like, so totally.
No,
I mean,
no one welcomed Tristan Thompson to basketball hell.
And he's like, hey, like,
he's Iman Shumpert 2.0. He's our scores dude. So to recap everyone's scoreboard here, I guess, if you will, their sheet. Christina, no numbers, play in or bust, which is the theme of all of us. And we're all saying play in or bust is what I'm gathering. John, 44 and 38. John, that was my projection as well that I gave a week or so ago when Jill and I did this. I believe that's a realistic number. I'm also being a little overly optimistic. That's in me. I'm just optimistic always. Connor, 38 and 44. Did you did say you think the play in is on the table? Yeah.
Oh, I think it's a 9 or 10. I actually think I think they make the playoffs though.
There you go.
I think they're talented enough to win one or two games out of that 9 and 10 seed. So
you are all over the place, dude. Sean, 40.
Does that make him the most optimistic since none of us actually made him going into the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
true.
Like they would match up pretty well with a lot of those teams who I think are going to be in that area. And
who do we think is going to be in that area? It's a good question.
Warriors, Clippers,
Pelicans,
probably not Timberwolves. Memphis.
Blazers are probably going to – they might
– Ooh, you're lowballing on the Blazers, John.
I think that's going to blow up at some point.
Chauncey Billups, come on. He played in the NBA. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand why they hired him. I don't understand the background.
He has such a squeaky clean record.
Yeah. Thank you, Sean. And, Sean, I was about to say your record projection, 40 and 42, playing. Jill, you originally had said we're doing like a plus or minus over under. You said above 41. Is that correct?
Yeah, I said just get me over 500.
Right.
Like, I will be happy. And to me, that was if they're over 500, I figured you're at least in a play-in, maybe like 7-8, depending on what happens. So
God, thank God for the play-in.
Give me 700 because at least I can say that that's like legitimate improvement. Yeah. We haven't been over 500, you know, since this whole thing started.
I feel like they made the play.
We've had 8 seasons of 500 basketball in what, 36 years? Like 8 seasons. 8. Give me 500.
I remember being a kid. I was sitting in a McDonald's drive-thru asking my dad, do you think the Kings are going to win 30 games this year? And got excited when he said yes.
Oh, that's so sad.
That sounds like my childhood probably 20 years later.
Wait, real quick. So if the Kings, just pulled up last year, it's not that this completely matters, but to be the 10 seed last year, the Spurs were 33 and 39. So if you add what 10, you probably had maybe 5 wins to that. So that's around 38 for the 72 games. So around 38 ish, if things happen as they did last year. And then for the teams that aren't making the play-in or are the 6 seed, you have 42 and 30, which was the Trailblazers. So you add 6 wins to that. That's 48 to be the 6 seed. So
we got Connor, Mr. Brightside Sutton here. Beautiful. And so I was going to just say that I feel like they invented the play-in for the Kings, like this concept of who can we help? You know, who can get a little extra life? Like, who needs that really badly? We do. We so need it. So
play-ins were really fun, though. They were fun.
Oh, yeah. No. That helped. That definitely helped that they were
good ratings. Once the game started.
Ratings. And money. They need the money out of the pandemic. We got 6 Ted Lassos here. And I say that because we all believe We all believe. That's nice. That's something we.
I appreciate the soccer shout out.
Yeah, well, I'm a soccer coach, Connor, as you know. So I
didn't know that.
You didn't know that? I felt like that. No. We had that conversation. That's for another time. Okay. Thank you guys for playing along with that and giving us your best projections. We appreciate you doing that. So Jill and I feel, I mean, you guys are kind of right on par with what Jill and I had been saying. So it makes me feel better about myself with what I was thinking about this team. Jersey debate. This is the big, big question. The real big thing I wanted to hear from you guys more than anything. Screw roster projections or record projections, excuse me. I want to know what Sacramento Kings jersey. We are glorious in our history of Kings jerseys. They cannot take that away from us. We are creative. We're always throwing something different out there. We have a gold jersey for no reason. So Jill and I asked each other the question, which throwback, if the Kings were to bring one back, which the NBA is talking about this concept of making an alternate jersey that is just a simple, like, retro jersey. You got to choose one. Which retro jersey of the Sacramento Kings 50 that they have are you bringing back?
Okay. So Sean. I'll go. So I will say just real quickly that my all-time favorite jersey is the one from 2002 to 08, the purple road jerseys, not because they're the best, like they definitely aren't, but it's just the jerseys of my childhood and just really nostalgic for me. But I don't think the Kings should necessarily wear them.
You're repeating exactly what I said. The Sacramento jersey. Sorry to interrupt you.
Yes.
The one that just said Sacramento in giant letters.
Exactly. Yeah. It's basically like this t-shirt that I'm wearing, this Kevin Martin t-shirt that I'm wearing.
Kmart.
This is the like t-shirt version of that jersey, but
the Sacramento across.
Sacramento.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Toronto test, Mike Bibby. That's what you're thinking of. Yeah.
Yes,
I said
exactly.
The same thing.
Yeah, exactly. And here I am.
Sorry to cut you off though.
No, you're good. And I'm blanking out at what t-shirt I'm wearing. But anyways, in terms of the jersey, I actually want to see the Kings wear. I really like the OG baby blues from 1985 to 1990 when the Kings first came to Sacramento and guys like Kenny Smith and former coach Reggie Theus were wearing them. I really, really like those. And of course, you got to mention the honorable mention of the ones from 94 to 2002, the white and black ones that they later bit off of in 2014, 2016.
Yeah.
My answer, I could talk about all the jerseys. I'm just going to say my answer is the baby blues from the 80s.
Baby blues.
To 90s.
Good choice. John.
All right. So I think the easiest answer is going to be the blacks from the
02.
Yeah.
That's going to probably be the most fans. But I have a caveat to that. You're only allowed to bring it back if the Kings are going to make the playoffs this year. I don't want that to waste that jersey, I guess, is my only caveat to it. But if I wanted to not do the what I think is probably going to be the overall fan consensus. I'm a fan of the checkered board. I can't lie. I like it. I'm a big Mitch Richmond fan. And when he wore the checkered board, it's good. I can't deny it. When they brought it back and they did the DeMarcus one, I bought it day long, drop day. I just, it's good.
I don't know why. I just hate that. Are we playing checkers? Why are there checkers?
I'm with you.
I know Jill loves it too.
But remember we had this convo. We said, a lot of this is going to be tied to sentimental value and you remember
nostalgia
from that time or first, like, right. I said the blacks, it was the first jersey I bought. And then the checkers, just cause those were like, you know, the good years. And you saw Sean was like, right. That you said that was your, you know, that was the jersey, what it was growing up. So see, it's confirming our thought of
the one you're wearing. And again, no one can see it, but we'll show the video. That one unanimously, nobody has good memories in that. That one can burn. Like, we don't want those.
This was the worst season in franchise history with 17 wins.
And like every worst memory is in those.
And we still
jerseys.
Ended up getting the fourth pick.
Yeah.
And the font.
And not taking
Steph.
Yeah. Yeah. The black on purple. Who? Don't even give me.
I have fond memories of Andres Nocioni that year. So I don't want to hear it.
And Baino. And Baino. Very nice.
My only fond memory is probably Kevin Martin.
Yes.
Yep.
Drano. Yep.
And that's the only reason why I own this shirt is because Kevin Martin was one of my favorite players growing up, along with Mike Bibby. So
me and you, Sean, those were our years.
Had to get this shirt, even though the jersey shirt itself isn't that great, but what matters is on the back.
What Kmart could have been if he had stayed healthy. Christina.
I'm not a big Jersey person, so
I'm sorry. I'm 0-2 on asking.
I'm just a girl. I don't really wear jerseys, but I enjoy them. The golds can burn. I don't care what anyone says. They're the ugliest things I've ever seen. They were
sorry,
horrible.
Will.
Yeah. Every time we say sorry, Will. On here.
Those golds, I don't even understand. That was the worst. And they were so baggy and so big. And
yes.
So
why
gross.
Were they so big?
They would do pregame concerts when they wore those jerseys. They took out a huge section of the stadium and they did I forget what the Maloose band's name was. And they would have them open up Kings games. They went full Vegas during that year.
Oh, gosh.
Did we ever find out why they were so baggy? Like that they never fit anybody? I want to figure this out.
They were huge. I think it's because the material was awful.
They were silk?
The material was so bad.
They were silk? Are you serious? Authentic?
They looked like it. It looked like horrible sheets that you put on your bed. Like, it was not good.
It's really funny that you say that, Christina, because I don't know if any of you guys have seen this, but last year, ESPN's Ryan McGee, he ranked the worst jerseys in NBA history, and he had the Kings gold jersey as number one. And in it, he literally said, he compared it to old bed sheets from a guy named Dirty that he used to cover a disgusting old couch rather than using a slipcover. Let's use that jersey that looks like those sheets. And yeah, the jersey is really ugly, but kind of like the purple jerseys from 02 to 08. I have kind of fond memories of that gold jersey just because I remember getting a Mike Bibby gold jersey for Christmas as a kid. And as a child, I was like, I love this. This is so cool. And now I look back on it. I still have the jersey in my closet. And I'm like, that's really
bad. I love that.
Mike Bibby did pull off that jersey. Mike Bibby pulled off anything that man wore.
I remember Bibby and Brad Miller in that. And
Brad Miller
was huge on them. Brad Miller in that. And it just looked ridiculous. It was not good. But I do have a fave.
Okay.
We don't know what the city jerseys are this year, though,
right?
We don't know what it's going to look
not
like.
Yet.
Okay. I loved last year's. That was the one when we had the checkerboard. That was the one that I actually liked the best last year. But my fave probably is right around the time when we finally saved the team. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was the blacks, all blacks. The first time they did the all blacks.
Script alternate is what they're called. Yes.
Yes. Okay. That's my fave.
Yes, memories of Tyreek Evans and players wearing that. It was a cursive Isaiah Thomas, too. Okay, yes. We're thinking the same thing. That is a good one.
Black script one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Black script alternate.
Connor, did you answer? Did I forget about it?
No, I don't know if you guys are ready for my zag on this.
Oh, my God. Man,
I'm just kidding.
Where are we going? We're going like first year? The
He's no, sitting you know quietly because he's like, it is the gold. Gold is
my
favorite.
The gold.
No, it's not the gold. The gold is bad, but I did have one. Someone bought it for me. So I understand, Sam, your thoughts on that. All right. Mine is a little bit out there, but it's only because everybody else is taking all the good ones. What about those white Royals? You guys remember the white Royals jerseys?
But they went down the
90,
they went down the front. Yeah. Yeah. It was
it was a baby jersey.
I
would like to see a modern version of that look. I feel like we could do something there. Maybe not with Royals, but it also could be like kind of an homage to the fact that we're here to stay in Sacramento, that kind of that piece. And I know that creating a new jersey every year has got to be tough and having a storyline behind it, as I know marketing teams do. Could be a cool way to do it. But I don't know. That's my thought.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
No, I didn't even think about that.
Did the move from to SoCal ruin the name Royals?
Wait, say that again.
Oh, because that was going to be their
team name, and the Kings were wearing the royal jersey that year too. They had the throwback, the white with just the red Royals across it. And I remember when the news came out, I had a DeMarcus one of those, and I didn't really even want to wear it anymore because it kind of soured. Is that something that probably just fall off, and we can bring it back now that we're here for sure?
Now it's like a triumph, though. Like, hey, that didn't happen. It's like a subtle middle finger to LA. We love those.
They didn't get a chance to totally ruin the name.
that's a wide variety. And that's something when I was looking up the list of all the Kings jerseys, like I knew they had a lot, but I was like thoroughly surprised. But I mean, they're in Sacramento, of course, it's only 85. It's not going back really that far, but they've had a lot of facelifts, a lot of reimagining in their time. And there's a lot of good ones to choose from. I would be very excited, of course, if they brought back. And I think the ones that everyone does want at the top of the list is the Black Kings 2002 jersey, just because, as Joe was saying, those are the good times, man. Bring me back the good times. That's what we want. And the fact that they brought back a rendition of that, as Sean, I think you mentioned, and I said this in the last podcast, it just blew my mind. They brought back like a ripoff of those jerseys from the early 2000s, but they only had the white and the purple. They didn't do the black. It made no sense.
That was only for like a year, right?
Yeah, 2 years after they got, they were stained and they rebooted and they did like a throwback. But it's like they're
that purple alternate.
Yeah. It's like they're
and
they're
black.
The 97 purple, as Jill likes.
Yeah.
They never
really truly brought that one black back. Yeah. Yeah. As we were saying, they just used the font, but they didn't actually use like,
Like there was just a missed opportunity. I really liked it at the time when they did that, but now looking back on it in hindsight, I'm like, why did they do that? Just leave it in the past and then bring it back when you're going to bring back the real thing. Even though I do have a purple version of that jersey, DeMarcus Cousins, hanging in my closet. Because
how many jerseys do you have?
I have a lot. I mean, when you have your players leaving basically every year, I would know this very well as an A's fan too. When you have your players leaving all the time, you got to get a new jersey. That's why I just have the one De'Aaron Fox jersey right now, and I hope I can hang on to that for the next 15 years.
My one Kings jersey I have, my brother got it for me a couple years for Christmas, and he didn't put any last name. He put my last name on it. And I was like, you know, I've joked with him. I was like, you know, obviously we don't play for the Kings. None of us are that athletic. And he was like, I was going to get you a DeMarcus Cousins jersey, Sam, but like, I just don't feel like he's going to be here. And what player, like what player is going to stick around? And sure enough, a month later, 2 months later, DeMarcus was traded. So that jersey will last forever, so long as my last name is Comenti, which it should.
I mean, that's why John doesn't have a Mitch Trubisky jersey, right?
Yeah, that's why. You know what's funny is I actually did almost get one.
I was about to say, don't lie to me if you have a couple.
I had it on my Christmas list. How about that?
You gonna buy a Justin Fields jersey?
I have one. I bought it day of. Okay. But then it's that weird fanatic one that's like the knockoff one, and so I have to get another one. It's quality's not good.
We could jerseys are such an open conversation dialogue. They could definitely go on forever, especially as we're all fans of multiple sports teams, obviously, not just the Kings. But we want to wrap up the show. I don't want to take too much more of your guys' time on this beautiful Friday, as I like to say, because thank God it's the weekend. Anyone have any closing remarks? I want to make sure you guys can shout out whatever it is you want to shout out or say whatever you want to say before we close it out.
I would like to apologize to Doug Christie for my earlier comments.
Doug does listen to the show. Frequent listener. So I'm glad you cleared that up. Sean and Vaughn podcast on the Be Heard platform. Make sure I'm going to go ahead and take the words out of your mouth, Sean. Go ahead and give those guys a listen. They're fantastic. You can see Christina on TV. She's our one verified member of this group right now. The verified Twitter account. So she's got the most clout of all of us. Jill, anything? I felt like I silenced you too much today. I'm sorry.
No, I loved hearing them talk.
Yeah.
That's, you know, this was our first fan roundtable. And we thank you guys for coming on and sharing your thoughts. And we'll have to come back, you know, as the season goes and meet back up and do a how are we feeling now segment.
Yes, yes. And we're going to approach
it. And I know Sean's here with the finger, like he wants to say it. Yeah.
Yes, and I appreciate Sam for plugging my podcast, so I don't have to waste my breath doing that. But I just wanted to say, as my closing thought, that I love the Jill's Water Cooler segment.
Yes.
You guys may be renaming it, but I love that segment because, much like you, Sam, I have found myself learning new things all the time. And on the most recent episode, the Larry the Bird Twitter
Larry
icon.
Larry the Bird.
Amazing.
I never knew that. The backstory just blew my mind. And so I was like, awesome. That is so cool. And so I just wanted to say that. And thank you guys for having me on today.
Of course.
But I just wanted to mention that while I was here on this podcast, that I love
awesome.
That segment.
Thank you.
You guys may rename it, as Sam was kind of floating back and forth with Jill's water cooler. But I love the segment in general.
No fix was not broken. Am I right?
Yeah, exactly.
My original idea was Jill's fire drill. I don't know why. It like almost rhymes, kind of rhymes. And Jill was like, Jill's water cooler. And I was like,
it's like water cooler talk where I'm giving you an interesting fact.
No, it's better. Like, that was better. Know, I was like,
we're
so
not
pumped.
In the office. We're not in the office anymore. So it's like a virtual version.
Wait, Jill, do you have one today?
Ooh, sneak it in.
On the spot.
Let's end the show on this.
On the spot. I'm sorry. I was just curious. I know. I'm sorry. I'm curious because I agree with
I
Sean.
Have like a whole list. Yeah.
Oh, do you? Oh. Is it like, is it basketball? Is it Kings? I know you said Larry the Bird one. I listened to that one as well. But like, what's the? Is it just anything? I'm curious where the parameters are.
It is basketball. It's not limited to Kings, but it is basketball. If people are interested in things of, you know, outside of basketball. I could always throw that in there, but yeah. Let's see. Okay. Well, here's one where this is kind of dark, but I mean, I guess for people who don't totally pay attention that did you know in one of Paul Pierce's, one of his seasons, he got into an altercation at a club, was stabbed 11 times in Boston in that club, trying to stop a fight. He had lung surgery. Okay. So lung surgery during, it was 2000-2001 season. So he's out in Boston at a club. He's trying to stop a fight. He stabbed 11 times.
What?
He played every single game that season. Only Boston player to start every single game that season. This is like during the season, he has stabbed 11 times, has like lung surgery, all this. Dude never missed a game and was the only player on that team to Matthew never chose miss this a game one. That season. Like, how crazy is that?
You guys need to leave the podcast.
I had no idea. And I was like around watching that whole time, like while he played. I had no idea.
You guys got to lead the podcast with the segment. That was unbelievable.
I wouldn't know what to say. I would be speechless from the beginning. And my mouth just opened. I was like, yes.
I'm like, how is this not a known thing? We all did. Like, what?
Yeah. Why is this wasn't news? Like, none of us have heard of this. I'm confused.
Was it the Chargers team doctor who did it?
I think the extent of everything came out after the fact. Like, people knew he had gotten altered, like all that had happened, but I don't necessarily know that people knew it was like 11.
He had the 11 stab detail
and then kept playing.
The slander that we've all given Paul Pierce, I feel like shit now. Like, the man got stabbed 11 times, then hooped.
That's the kind of toughness this Kings team needs to have. That's what I mean. You know what I mean?
That's what I was talking about.
Yes.
That's what I was talking about.
That was what
Alex and this to be the only it. Player. So now when I see people out with like, oh, my finger, like, and I'm like, this is stabbed 11 times and played every game.
We got to get Paul Pierce on the bench.
That's Paul Pierce that admitted to leaving a playoff game because he went to the bathroom.
Yeah, in a wheelchair. What a weird, yeah, that's like of all the people you could say that got stabbed 11 times and went back in, I wouldn't think it would be Paul Pierce. That's incredible. Jill, thank you for that. That special edition of Jill's Water Cooler that put us all back. Like, we were me and Connor's reactions were priceless. I'm just going to take that clip and put it on.
Yeah, face,
on
neck, face, just, neck, and back. Like, they crazy. Like, seriously, go look up the story and they have pictures because I think he has like tattoos and stuff over like where it happened. Like, what? Go read the story. It's wild.
Okay. Well, unless someone has something else, I'm gonna stop it there before we get even more grotesque. Thank you guys for listening on this Friday show. Basketball season is officially back on Tuesday. Rosters are set on Monday. The Kings play on Wednesday from Portland. Make sure to watch that game, NBC Sports, Bay Area, or wherever it is. You can live stream. I don't know. However people on Reddit, however you want to watch basketball. I guess you don't. I don't work for NBC Sports. You can watch it however you want. But Kings basketball is back. We're excited. Everyone here, thank you so, so much for joining us for Talking Kings. It's going to be an awesome season. And if it's not, we'll come back in the middle of the season and we'll vent it out. So unless anyone else has one more line, we're going to go and wrap it up. Thank you, guys. You guys Thanks, have guys. A great weekend. Later, dudes.
Thank you.